Hallelujah. Only you, Lord, can do.
Thank you, Jesus.
No one else can do. And we love you this morning. Raise your hands up. Just love on the Lord a bit. Lord, we love you this morning. Hallelujah. We praise your name. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much, praise team. Everybody, please be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope you're all doing well this morning. Good morning and welcome to the service with us this morning. We are live in Phoenix, Arizona, and this is GMI Church. I'm going to pray and get into today's exhortation. Hopefully it won't be too long. And, I do want you to do the best you can to pay attention. Don't get distracted, because if you get distracted now, you're going to miss something. Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray. Hallelujah. Right where you are, you may be seated, but I want you to lift up your hands one more time. Just lift up your hands one more time. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord. We lift up our hands that you may lift us up and carry us on your shoulder. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord, for the word of God, the entrance thereof that brings light and gives understanding to the simple. So let it shine, that light, in our hearts this morning. Give revelation knowledge. Give us understanding of what the Spirit is saying to the church at this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to share on fear not, only believe. You can expand the message to fear not, be not dismayed, only believe. But it is really fear not, only believe. I'm going to talk about fear this morning and why the Lord used to say those words that I just said, and also see how that, will work with our faith. There are a couple of stories here. My lead-off story here this morning is found in two places, Mark chapter 5 and also Luke chapter 8. So let's take a look at these stories that we have here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, in Mark chapter 5, we see the story of the woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment and was made whole. Well, right after that, we'll see another story. And that's the one that I want to focus on today. Now, let's pick up this story from Mark chapter 5 and right around verse 35. The Lord was just speaking to the woman and said, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." And right as soon as he was saying that, while he yet speak, that came from the ruler of the synagogue's house. Now remember, if you read earlier in this chapter, if you read earlier, the story is from, let's start it from verse 22. "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him." So it was while Jesus was going with him and much people followed him that the woman with the issue of the blood came and all of that, But let's keep the story of the issue of the woman with the issue of blood. Let's keep that story. Now, as soon as that woman was healed And Jesus discovered that virtue had gone out of him, and the woman was made known. He gave her comfortable words. Fear not, you go, you're healed of your plague. And while he was yet saying that, so let's pick up this story here. While he was yet speaking to the woman, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain people which said, you know, your daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Now remember, the man had, you know, besought the Lord and said, my daughter is at the point of death. Please come, lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live. And Jesus obliged. And Jesus was going. And then the other story happened along the way. And then, soon as Jesus was comforting the woman that was healed, not to be afraid, people came from the ruler of the synagogue. They came from his house and said, your daughter is already dead. No need to trouble the master any further. Now, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, he said, be not afraid, only believe. And that's the message of our lesson today. Be not afraid, or fear not. Fear not, only believe. Now, there was a reason, and this same story, you know, is also cited in the book of Luke chapter 8. And he said, fear not, you know, believe only. And that's all Jesus said to them. There was a reason why Jesus always wanted to get the fear out of there. Now, because if you are afraid, it's going to be hard for you to believe. This story in Luke chapter 8, same thing is written there. And Jesus, when he heard what they were saying, they said, trouble not the master. In this case, Luke reported they are saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. In the other place, he said, be not afraid, only believe, you know, and so on. So let's look at this verse 50 of Luke 8. Fear not, only believe. Hallelujah. Fear not, only believe. Now, many times, fear would hinder our faith. You know, and this is the thing. You can get a bill of health, a bad report, diagnosis of ill health, or some terrible thing, and immediately fear would creep in. But the Lord will say to you the same thing. Fear not, only believe. Amen. Now, if you allow that fear to creep in, you know, then all of a sudden, the devil has a gateway into our lives. Because fear is a portal. It's a gateway. Brings many other things in. As a matter of fact, you know, the Bible says that in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, you know, it reveals a side of fear, you know, that many of us may not consider at times. This scripture tells us that fear has torment. That's what it says. You know, so there is a torment or a sting of fear that will actually disannul your faith, and you won't even be able to believe the Lord for anything. So the Lord always used to say, fear not, only believe. And let's look at a few other places. It wasn't just about sickness. In this case, it was about a girl that had died, and the Lord told the man not to be afraid. Of course, we know that the Lord later on went and raised the girl to life. But it's not only about that. It's about everything else. Let's see what the Lord said to Joshua when he was about to send him on this mission, this critical mission. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Let's read that. Praise the Lord. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded thee, the Lord said, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Now, be not afraid, be not dismayed. Dismayed is a state of despondency, where people just give up and resign, you know, because they thought they've lost, or it's a lost cause, you know. And the Lord said, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Praise the Lord. We see that in Joshua chapter 8, Lord also spoke to him similar words, you know, to let him know to not be afraid, you know. Don't be afraid, the Lord said. And every time that we allow that fear to creep in, it doesn't end well. There is a story, a popular story that I like to talk about in the book of Mark chapter 4. The story of Jesus and the disciples in the boat. In fact, it was alluded to this morning during the review. You know, there was a period that the Lord was teaching his disciples faith. Teaching them faith. And he wanted to help their faith. So, of course, the Lord, he knew that the storm was coming. But he told the disciples, he said, let's get in the boat and cross over to the other side. And the Lord was going to teach them a lesson. It's a lesson about faith, but it also has to do with this subject today about fear. And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. Let's just read through that. Thank you for showing that up. And when he had sent them away, the multitude, you know, they took him even as he was in the ship. There was also with him other little ships, you know. So, and there was a great storm of wind that arose, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. You know, all the water was coming into the ship. And in the meantime, Jesus was in the back of the boat, asleep on a pillow. And they ran to him and awoke him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? In other words, are you not even concerned that we are about to perish? And when he arose, you can just imagine Jesus and say, what's happening? You know, and he, you know, then he realized their fear. But he was trying to teach them a lesson. So he got up, he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, peace, be still. Now, that's how you rebuke something. You know, let me do a little digression here and bring in a lesson to all of us. Because sometimes we just say, I rebuke you, Satan. Well, he rebuke you, you know, do something. Tell him something. Put handcuffs on his hand. Or tell him to shut up. Tell him to hold his peace or whatever. Actually do something. Don't just say, I rebuke you. You know, if your little child is making noise and you say, I rebuke you, what does that mean? You know, you tell the child, be quiet. Now, when you tell the child, be quiet, you've rebuked the child. But if you just say, I rebuke you, what does that really mean? You know, so Jesus got up, rebuked the wind. That's what he did. But now, he's going to go a little further and tell what he actually did in rebuking the wind. What he actually did was to tell the wind to be still. Be at peace and be still. That's how you rebuke the wind. Don't just go to the wind and say, wind, I rebuke you. The wind might not do anything because you haven't actually commanded it to do anything. You just said, I rebuke you. But when you tell the wind, peace, be still, then you have actually rebuked the wind. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And let's keep reading, verse 40. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Now, so you see these two elements were here in this case. The fear and the lack of faith. And what we read from this is that when you are so fearful, it will actually limit you in an opportunity of having faith. Now, these people were fearful. Now, Jesus, on the other hand, what he was expecting out of them was that they should not have been fearful. They should have been able to take the storm in stride. Just know that the storm is going to come, it will do its thing, and it will pass. And just don't worry about it. But they panicked because of fear. Fear is what gripped their hearts because of all the wind, the billowing, and so forth, and the water coming into the boat, and the boat was full, and Jesus, meantime, was sleeping. Now, of course, the Lord knew all of that was going to happen. It's a lesson in faith and not being afraid that he was trying to teach them. Now, you may be faced with situations. In the review, we were talking about your Red Sea moments from last week. You may be faced with even a situation like this, where it seems as if your boat is going to drown and capsize. Or whatever, you know, there may be all kinds of things that come up against you. You know, be not afraid. Only believe. Now, the moment you give in to fear, you're going to be like these disciples. They panicked. And they started, you know, they just lost faith completely. And they panicked. Well, fear and faith do not go together. You're either going to believe God and not be afraid, or if you are going to be fearful, then you're not going to be able to believe God. This is what Jesus is teaching the people here. There are many stories similar in the Bible that have to do with trying to allay the fears of the people first when they are in a situation that may be over their heads. In the story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat was way over his head because he had three armies that came up against him. And each one of those armies alone was bigger than his, you know, but then when you compound all the three, you know, you got Moab, you got Ammon, and you got Mount Seir. They all came together and they were afraid. So let's pick up this story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 15. You know, this is the encouragement that the Lord will give. You know, he said, "Hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat," this was a young prophet, a brother, word of the Lord in the midst. And he said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's." Can someone say amen? Amen. But God had to get that fear out of there. He had to tackle the fear first. Because when you see that you are outnumbered and overwhelmed, fear is likely to set in. And the Lord had to, first of all, you know, by the mouth of the young prophet, bring a word of admonition to get rid of the fear. Get rid of the fear. Now, before you can begin to really build faith, it's kind of that the Lord told Jeremiah, he said, "Look, before we can build and plant, first we got to throw down, we got to cast down, we got to destroy, and we got to root out." You got to get rid of all the negative stuff before you can plant and build. And today, the negative stuff that we want to get rid of, the one that we want to focus on, is fear. Because fear has torment. Once it gets a hold of you in there, you know, it allows the devil to do all kinds of things. Now, let's read 2 Chronicles chapter 32. This story is also in the book of Isaiah, chapters 36 and 37. But let's read it from 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verses 7 and 8. The Lord always likes to comfort the people. You know, now, this story is about Sennacherib that came and disgraced or tried to you know, just chide the children of Israel and tell them, look, don't put any trust in Hezekiah or Hezekiah's God. He can't help you. You know, none of the gods of the nations help them. We destroy them all, cast their gods into the fire, and so on and so forth. You know, so, and, you know, but here is the word of the Lord to encourage Hezekiah and the people. Say, be strong and courageous, and be not afraid, nor dismayed. So that's the lesson today. Fear not, be not dismayed, only believe. Be not afraid, be not dismayed. You know, don't let the size, you know, of their threat or whatever you're facing, don't let it overwhelm you to the point of discouragement and despair and dismay. He said, look, for, you know, you will not be dismayed. Don't worry about the multitude that is with him. Don't worry about the multitude over there. He said, there are more with us than are with him. Praise the Lord. With him is the arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. You know, and as Hezekiah began to encourage the people, because himself was already encouraged, you know, by the prophet. He prayed, was encouraged, and so he turned around and encouraged the people. And he told them, don't be afraid. Don't even be dismayed. You know, it's more with us than are with them. And many stories like that in the Bible. Fear grips the heart of the people. When the king of Syria, you know, would send armies, you know, armies against Elisha, you know. Same thing with, you know, Elijah. Elijah, his own was a call down fire. Elisha, on the other hand, his servant saw all the armies, surrounded them, woke up in the morning, and lo and behold, our army surrounding them. They wanted to come and capture the prophet. And so he ran to his master and said, wow, you know, we're in trouble. You know, we're in trouble. And the man said to him, fear not, only believe. There's more with us than those that are against us. And the man said, I don't see anybody here with us except these donkeys. You know, but I see all these armies that are out there. He was gripped with fear. And the man of God said, Lord, I pray that you open his eyes so that he will see. And when the Lord opened his eyes, he saw, and behold, chariots of fire that were surrounding the mountains and all around. But fear had gripped his heart because of the multitude that he saw. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, and verses 10 through about 14, the Lord said, look, you know, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. This is a good verse that everybody should memorize. I will strengthen you, yea, I will help thee, and yea, I will uphold thee the right hand of my righteousness. But first, you had to get the fear and the dismay out of there. Fear not and be not dismayed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, let's read Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. And I want to read a few more verses. And I'm going to tell you something else. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6. Now, I'm just reading to you many scriptures here where the Lord often told the people not to be afraid and not to be dismayed, but to stay upon the Lord their God. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, neither be afraid of them or anything that come up against you. Don't be afraid. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, neither will he forsake thee. Hallelujah. So don't be afraid. The Lord will not fail you. But first, he's got to get the fear out of there. Praise the Lord. Now, let's look at Isaiah chapter 54. And let's read verse 4. Now, here again, the Lord will say the same thing. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be shall thou be confounded. You know, and the Lord, you know, will not allow you to be put to shame. But first, he had to get the fear out of there. In every one of these verses, he starts out by saying, fear not. You see that he says, fear not, or he says, be not afraid, which is the same thing. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. But first, you got to get that fear out of there. Now, this fear, if we allowed it to settle in, it has torment. The story that we told last week of the story of the Red Sea moment in Exodus chapter 14. Fear gripped the hearts of the people because there was nowhere to go, nowhere to go in front, nowhere to turn back. They were caught in the middle. And the Lord, you know, he needed to get that fear out of there. And Moses said the same thing unto the people, fear ye not. You know, why is he always speaking about fear, you know? Because naturally, fear is going to grip your hearts when you are faced with these situations. Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, if you are faced with a health crisis, the first thing that's going to grip your heart is fear. Because the medical people, we thank God for them, but they have a way of saying the thing to make it look even more graphic. They'll just tell you, you're going to die. You know, you don't do this, and you're going to do that. I mean, they just make it more graphic. I remember some years ago, many years ago, 2001 to be exact, you know, I was diagnosed with valley fever. And I had to have, you know, my lungs, one lung was almost collapsed. It went on for a while before I knew what it was. I just thought it was some sneezing or something. Or at first, one thing or the other. It just went on and on and on. And they were not treating it for the right thing. Until finally, they found out it was coccy. Yeah, that thing, coccy is so deadly. So anyway, you know, I remember when the doctors, the pulmonologist or whatever, would speak to me, it was so graphic. He said, if you don't do this, you're going to die. You know, and that is designed to put fear into your heart. You know, why am I going to die? I shall not die, but I shall live. Hallelujah. And declare the works of the Lord. Why should I die? But they put fear into your heart. Tell you, you're going to die. You know, so, and then when you read those things, reports that come, you know, I mean, some people have been going about their business. They just went for routine checkup. And then the next thing you know, inside the report, there's all kinds of things. And then they tell you, come back for some more. And then you go, and then more report, and more evil stuff. And then you find out that your life changes right away. I mean, the next thing you know, fear comes in. Because now, fear of the unknown. Am I going to make it to my next birthday? I'm going to die. And the devil will begin to use that fear, you know. And when he gets a hold of that fear, my goodness, he can work all kinds of havoc in our hearts. But the Lord says, fear not. Only believe. Hallelujah. Now, it doesn't matter whether even if your brother was 4 days dead in the grave and Jesus came on there, he said, look, fear not, only believe. If you can only believe, you will see the glory of God. But you must get that fear out of there. It's not enough to just say, I'm going to believe. No, you're going to first have to deal with the fear. That's what I'm trying to do here this morning. We've got to deal with the fear. Now, how do you get a posture of no fear? How do you get that posture? When you are facing fear. I mean, your name is Shadrach or Meshach or Abednego. And under the penalty of death, the king says to you, you have one last chance. I'm going to give you one more chance. If you, when you hear music, you bow down, worship my gods, all is well. But if you do not bow down, I'm going to cause them to heat up the thing 7 times. Now that's design. The furnace was already there, already had fire. But now the king is going to put more fear into their heart, or try to. I'm going to cause them to heat up the place 7 times. Except you bow. You know, but they had a posture of no fear. Hallelujah. They said to the king, O king, we're not even careful to answer you in this matter. This is not something we need to go and pray about. This is not something we have to go and think about to give you an answer. You know, in their heart, they've already settled no fear. Hallelujah. And they said, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. That's the end of the story. And not only is he able, he's actually going to deliver us. Praise the Lord. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us. So that's how you settle. You must be persuaded in your heart. This is how you settle the fear issue. You must be persuaded in your heart that the Lord is able to deliver you from that evil report that you received concerning your health, or some even bad news. You know, Sammy said, look, this man's heart is fixed. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings, because he's trusting in the Lord. When you suddenly get evil tidings, the next thing the Holy Spirit wants to say to you is, fear not. Because as soon as you are afraid, all kinds of things will creep in. You know, let's take a look at what Job said in Job chapter 3 and verse 25. You know, the moment that you are afraid, all kinds of things can creep in. Now, Job was a man that feared the Lord and walked in God's ways, and God even testified of him. But in his heart, all the time, he was probably afraid that some evil was going to come upon his children. He was afraid all the time. So, you know, he would make sacrifice for them, and he would pray for them. But somehow, he was still harboring fear in his heart. And he revealed it here. He said, for the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me. He was afraid the whole time. Even though he had a posture of righteousness, yet, you know, he was dealing with his fear. And this fear thing, the devil get a hold of it in there, can really do a lot of havoc. Now, so what do we want to do? How do we develop a posture of no fear? Well, we'll piggyback on the message from last week. You remember the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You remember what he has done for you before. Now in Psalm 42, let's read what the psalmist said in verses 5 and 6. When he was distressed, you know, could have been the story in Ziklag, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, where the, you know, Amalekites came and destroyed their place, carried away their wives captive and everything, and everybody thought of stoning him, and he was distressed. But when he encouraged himself in the Lord, listen to what he said. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. But let's read the next verse, you know, and see. He said, O my God, my soul is cast down within me, but I will remember some of the previous victories. That's right. I will remember thee from the land of Jordan. You know, he'll call to remembrance This is how you get a posture of no fear. I mean, the psalmist, this man, he developed, you know, that posture through the things that he went through in life. You know, it's like when he went up against Goliath, everybody else was cowering in fear. But this young man, he had developed a posture of no fear because he called to remembrance God's great deliverances. He said, look, you know, there was a situation when I kept my father's sheep that there was a lion that came up against the sheep and took one of the little lambs. Now, if a lion comes, if you are a young boy and a shepherd, and the lion comes and take your sheep, as fear will grip your heart, you know, the first instinct will be for you to run away, protect yourself. But not David. David said, not on my watch. Hallelujah. You are not coming in here and taking what is mine. And David got into a fist fight with a lion. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't get into a fist fight with a lion and come out, you know, winning. And somebody one time, they saw, hey, David, what's up with that scar in your hand? You should have seen the other guy. Hallelujah! Because he had this little, the Lord showed me this one day. I was thinking about it. And I saw it. Had this, you know, shepherd's knife. It's a very small knife, but very sharp. You know, and I saw how he put that thing right here to the mouth of that lion. You know, he might have got a few scars out of it when the lion tried to fight him off. But David, he got the victory. You know, and he was not afraid. He said, look, in fact, he always knew there was something about David. It wasn't that there were no situations that could make him afraid. But his posture was that my God is bigger than the situation. Amen. That was his posture. He said in Psalm 27, and he said, look, the Lord is the strength of my life. I will not fear. What's going to make me afraid when the Lord is on my side? You know, they can come out against me. You know, it doesn't matter. As long as I got the Lord, I'm coming out on the victory side. He said, look, even all these things surround me like bees and so on. But in the name of the Lord, I'll destroy them all. You know, it's not that, look, there is no situation that should make him afraid. But he said, look, though war should be around me and hosts should encamp against me, in this my heart shall not fear. I'm not going to be afraid. He trained himself. It was a thing. It was a conscious thing. I am not going to be afraid in the situation that would normally bring fear. This will I be confident, because the Lord is on my side. Hallelujah. It's not that there was no lion, but the Lord was on his side. It's not that there was no bear that rose. See, when those bears rose up like that, they can be about 8 feet, 9 feet tall. You know, when they rise up and pound their chest against you like that, God was preparing him for Goliath. You know, by the time he got to Goliath, he remembered when the bear rose up against him. That bear was as big as Goliath when he rose up. And he said, look, I've dealt with that thing before. I'm going to deal with this one also. Amen. No fear. You have to develop that posture in small things before you get to big things. You know, just develop it little by little by little. Build up a posture of no fear. Now, don't let the little things get the better of you. If the little things get the better of you, how are you going to fare well in the big things? That's what Jeremiah says in the book of Jeremiah 12 and 5. I love that scripture. I was using it earlier today's online. Look, when you are faced with little things, don't be afraid. Win the battle over the little things. That's when you are going to develop your culture, your posture of faith. Run with footmen. Don't let them, you know, intimidate you. If you are intimidated by footmen, how are you going to stand up against horses? You can't do it. If you are intimidated when there is peace all around and just some little problem here and there, you panic, you freak out. You know, some people are always freaked out. You stress out, you freak out, you panic in little situations. What are you going to do when all hell breaks loose? And it is going to happen. So that's why the Lord is saying, build up your posture of no fear. Everywhere he went, he would say, no fear. Fear not. So by the time David got in front of Goliath, he called, just like he said, I will remember the Lord from the land of Jordan. I will remember him from the hill where he gave me victories. And he remembered. So you build up your posture of no fear by remembering the things that the Lord has done in the past. Don't be like the children of Israel that forgot at their Red Sea moment. You know, so this is coming on the heels of last week's message. Build up your confidence in the Lord. You know, this is the confidence and this is the victory that we have. 1 John chapter 5, let's read verse 4. You know, what kind of confidence do you have? Can you put up 1 John chapter 5, verse 4? Let's put up. You see, he said, look, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Now, listen. Overcoming means there are situations that are going to come against you. You know? But you will overcome. Now, so we're already guaranteed the victory because of our faith. You got to get the fear out of there. That fear will poke holes, put dents in that faith until finally it will crush that faith. There's always a battle, a tussle, a struggle between fear and faith. You know. So, what's it going to be? You know, let's develop our posture of faith rather than fear. Praise the Lord. You know, Psalm 46. Let's read Psalm 46. It's again like Psalm 27. This man is always saying things to build himself up. So let's read, put up Psalm 46 for me, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Let's keep reading. Hallelujah. Therefore, will we not fear? You know, now, you know, there's trouble all around him. He said, but God is present with me in the trouble. If Jesus is in the boat, there's no reason to be afraid. You know, but they were afraid because they hadn't learned the posture of no fear, which is what Jesus was trying to teach. Well, we're not going to be afraid. Even though the earth be removed, even though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, even though the swelling thereof and all these things, you know, he said, we will not be afraid. We're building a posture of faith. No fear. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You can read through verses 1 to 5, read verse 7, and then read verses 10 to 11. Let's actually read it. Let's keep reading to verse 5. You know, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, you know, there's, you know, upheavals and things and tempest and tsunami and everything. And though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is, you know, eruptions and volcanic eruptions and all kinds of things happening. He said, well, there is a confidence that we will feel. Hallelujah. We will not be afraid. And there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the house of God, the holy place of his tabernacle. And he began to encourage himself. You know, you talk about the good things. He said, God is in the midst of her. You know, look, when God is with you, he's trying to encourage himself. He will help you. You will not be moved. He will help you and help you right early. Praise God. Encourage yourself with those words. Now, there will be moments of fear. They're called Red Sea moments, like last week. There will be moments of bad news. You know, evil report from your doctors, from the tests and whatever. There will even sometimes evil report from a far country. There will be sometimes you may have just all kinds of evil report. Don't be afraid. You know, maintain your posture of no fear. Believe only. Now, deal with the fear. right away. You know, get that fear out of there. Because the devil will try to magnify the situation by the fear. That's what he does. So, you know, as soon as the fear comes in there, it's like Peter, you know, the Lord is walking on the water. Peter says, Lord, is that you? The Lord said, yeah. Well, Peter said, well, can I come and play? The Lord said, well, cool. Come on, Peter. Peter jumps in the water and he's walking on water. He's walking on water. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you who think that Peter didn't have any faith, Peter actually walked on water. How many steps have you ever taken on water? People always say Peter don't have any faith. Peter walked on the water. He actually walked on the water for some time. I don't know how many steps he took, but he actually walked on water, walking towards Jesus. Come on, Peter. Peter walking, you know. My goodness, I'm actually walking on water, you know. But Peter, keep your eyes on the Lord now. As long as you are looking on the Lord, the Lord is saying, come on, Peter. And he's walking on the water. And then all of a sudden, he looks around, he sees these boisterous waves. I can't walk on water. And then the next thing you know, he's beginning to drown, you know. He was afraid. Can't walk on water. You know, see, if you fear, the devil will magnify the situation through fear. He was afraid. But he did the right thing. Praise the Lord. The right thing is to cry unto the Lord. That's always the right thing. Lord, save me. That's the right thing to do. And immediately. And so Jesus rebuked him because of his little faith. He said, you know, oh, you of little faith. How far did you doubt? Or why were you afraid? Doubt, fear, all these things, you know, they work against faith. Jesus was always trying to teach them a posture of faith. Keep your faith going. Don't fear. Don't look to the waves. Don't be worried. I'm with you. I got you. I got you, Peter. Come on now. You know, well, you know, that will only work so far until you look at the boisterous waves. When you look at the boisterous waves like, I can't walk on water. Then you're going to begin to drown. And these are the things, these are the tactics of the devil. The devil will tell you, who ever heard of such a thing? You walk on water, you're going to drown. And make you afraid. You know, you just bring all kinds of fear. Praise the Lord. And he will even, the devil might even try to remind you of a situation that didn't end well. See, but you have the option of reminding yourself of the situations that went well. Hallelujah. They will say, remember that brother or that sister? They died. You know, why do you think you will leave? Then you can also remember the Lord from the land of Jordan. Hallelujah. Can remember the goodness of the Lord. That's why the psalmist, that's why Paul said, he said, look, curate your pattern of thinking in Philippians chapter 4 verse 8. Curate that, channel it into thinking of things that have praise, things that have good report, the things that the Lord has done before, those lovely things, those pure things, those things that have good report, those things that have praise and virtue. Put your mind on those things. Get away from the fear. Don't let the fear get in there because fear has torment. Now, let me wrap this up by saying to us that, look, you know, no matter what it is that you are facing, and no matter what it is that you are up against, the first thing that the Lord wants to do is to get rid of the fear. He even gives us a promise concerning even spiritual things. In Luke chapter 12, verse 32, here's what the Lord said. Luke 12 and 32. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Because some people are even afraid. I can't make it. I'm going to miss the rapture. I can't make it. The first thing that Jesus says, fear not. You know, whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual, get rid of the fear. Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And When Jesus appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos, you know, and after the revelation, John was actually scared because of the glory that he saw. His eyes were like flame. His feet were like burning brass. His voice were like thunders and all of these things and so forth. You know, he was scared, you know. But here's what the Lord told him. Revelation chapter 1. Let's look at verse 11. You know, what did the Lord say to him? He said, look, I am Alpha and Omega. That's right. You know, the first and the last. He's going to settle his heart now. He's going to tell him. In fact, if you read, let's go a little, let's go into the verse before that. Let's look at the verse before that. A few verses before that. You know, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a great voice behind me saying, I am Alpha and Omega, you know. And it began to tell him, you know, that, look, and there's a place in here, I'm looking for the verse, but I can't find it right now. There's a place where he tells him here, fear not, you know, because every time, in fact, Daniel, the same thing, that's verse 17. When Daniel, when he saw the vision of the angel, you know, he was afraid too, you know. And I said, fear not, I've come to give you strength and understanding. So when I saw him, after he saw from verses 11 through about 15 and 16, it was a dramatic appearance that he saw. His eyes were like thunder, fire, his voice like thunder, his, something with him, with burning brass and all these things and so forth. He was afraid. And the Lord said to him, fear not, child. That's right. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me and said, fear not, I am Alpha and Omega. He always needs to get that fear out of there. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson today. I want to let you know that fear has torment, and we need to get rid of it in order for us to be able to properly exercise our faith. Let's stand up to our feet. That's our short exhortation today, and I'm going to pray that the Lord will give you the grace to exercise yourself in building your spiritual capacity to into a posture of no fear. No fear, no matter what the bad news, no matter what evil news may be, praise the Lord. Can you say, it is well with my soul? Let somebody say, it is well with my soul. The woman, a child just died. And she said, saddle me an ass. I want to go to the man of God. And the husband said, where are you going? It's not even the Sabbath day. It's not the new moon. What are you doing? She said, what? It is well. It is well. Don't let that fear that your child is dead cripple you in fear. Fear will cripple. But she said, what was her response? What was her answer of faith? It is well. It is well. It is well with my soul. With my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. The way you build up to that kind of testimony is to live a life daily of trusting in the Lord and saying, no fear. When peace like a river tears my head. When Saul, praise team, you can come. See billows roll. Whatever my Lord, thou hast done. say it is well. It is well with my soul. Let's declare it together. It is well. It is well. Pray. I want you to pray and deal with the spirit of fear. You. Because the scripture says in Isaiah 52 and verse 2, shake your own self from the dust. Loose yourself from the bands of fear that are around your neck. I put that one in there. You know, don't need anybody to do it for you. You can do it yourself, but sometimes people need a little help. That's why ministers of God are anointed. They pray for people, you know. But today, I want you to deal with the fear. I want you to pray and get rid of the fear. And I'm going to pray over the congregation. As I'm praying, you be praying for yourself and say, Lord, I need to break free from this spirit of fear. Because fear has torment, and I'm not going to put my neck under the yoke of fear. But no matter what rises up against me, in this will I be confident. Praise the Lord. Now let's throw up our hands and let's pray. I'm going to pray over the audience, and you pray for yourself as well. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against the spirit of fear. I command it to depart from the people of God. I put spiritual handcuffs on that spirit of fear. Wherever it's trying to bring its ugly head, come out of there. Let it be replaced by faith and confidence. Confidence in the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Fear not, for it is well with your soul. Remember the promise of the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. In the book of Isaiah 54 and verse 10, he said, the mountains may be removed, the hills may depart, but my kindness will never depart from you. Amen. Neither will my covenant of peace be removed from you. Amen. Build up your posture of no fear, because the Lord is with you. Because thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Therefore, I'm emboldened. I can pass through the valley of the shadow of death, and I will have no fear, because the Lord is with me. Hallelujah. Let's build up that posture of no fear. No fear. Isaiah 43 and 2 also says, when you pass through the fire, don't be afraid. The Lord will bring you out on the other side. It will not burn you. When you pass through the flood, it will not drown you. The Lord will always bring you out on the other side. Thank you, Jesus. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. No fear. It is well with my soul. Develop this posture for yourself daily, daily, daily. And one day, you are going to be able to say, I know my Redeemer liveth. Hallelujah. Amen. You're going to be able to say, our God, my God whom I serve, is able to deliver me, and he will deliver me. I'm not afraid of the fire or anything like that. I'm not afraid of the burning fiery furnace. So we are not afraid of the burning fiery furnace. For our God whom we serve is able, and he will deliver us. May the Lord bless every one of you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.